Well, as I've already mentioned, and Eric has so rudely pointed out, many of us have heard Richard speak before. You are an old friend of our church, and several members of our congregation have visited your children's home over the years, but there might well be some people here who don't know about the work of Children's Vision, so I'm going to put you on the spot, if
okay.
That's okay.
Absolutely.
I'm going to ask you a few questions now to find out a bit about what you do
okay.
and the work that you're doing in Colombia. So, firstly, you're based in Bogota, which according to Wikipedia, so it must be right, has a population of 7.5 million people, so it's a significant city. What, in a nutshell, is Bogota like? If you could sum up a city, how would you describe Bogota to those of us who've never visited?
Okay, so good morning, everybody. So firstly, the official numbers for the population are around 7.5 million. I think it's probably a significant number more than that, just because of the number of people that have been displaced because of violence in different parts of Colombia have come into the city of Bogota. And also we have a lot of Venezuelans right now in the city of Bogota because of the whole difficulty that's going on in Venezuela. So I would think the population's probably maybe a million, million and a half more than
what the, never trust Wikipedia.
The figures suggest. Bogota is a city of great extremes, has great wealth in some areas and very great poverty in others.
Now that's really interesting because my next question was, I'm guessing like most cities, there's a big difference between the rich and the poor.
Yeah, very, very much. In the north of the city, you would see probably quite a wealthy area. And in the south of the city, the further south you would go, you would see some of the poorer areas of the city.
And downtown Bogota, is it very Western? Is it very South American? What's it like to be in downtown Bogota?
To me, it's kind of a mix of cultures. So there's a lot of office blocks, a lot of tall offices, that type of thing, a lot of business. But there's also on the street, you'll have the street vendors out there and people selling on the street. So it's kind of I think the center is kind of a snapshot of the whole of society in Bogota, probably.
Great. Now, perhaps less than we used to, but I think people have in their head a picture of what a missionary should be, mm-hmm. what they should look like, and probably the fact that, you know, we imagine from the day they were born, they were, you know, they were put aside by God to be a missionary. But you're originally from North Tyneside and you worked for British Gas.
I did for 10 years.
Which
That's
is great.
Correct.
I love the fact that, you know, you're a missionary and yet for many years you lived a much more sort of what we might term a normal life. What did you do for British Gas?
So I worked for my final position with Transco, the Gas Emergency Service. So I worked at Killingworth in their offices there. And I used to look after a whole area of the country in terms of allocating logistics of manpower to deal with gas escapes.
But life has taken you far away from the northeast.
My goodness, yeah, and a very different job.
So yeah. How did that happen?
So I went out on different trips during my holiday times from work. And during that time, God really began to speak to my heart and I began to understand that I had a calling to serve God full time. And eventually went to Colombia, took a year's career break, went there. I think my boss wanted to get rid of me for a year. In that time, God really confirmed the calling that he had for me. And I eventually met the lady who's now my wife. I have a wonderful wife. And God gave me all these wonderful children to look after.
So the work of Children's Vision, you've touched on it there. It's huge. It's far-reaching. I know you're really passionate about it.
Very, yeah.
So here's the challenge. Can you tell us what you do with Children's Vision in just a few sentences? Just sum up what you do.
Okay. Well, there's several main areas that we work in. So we have our four children's homes. The vision finally is to have five homes. We have our medical center, which is in our new building. So we'll be starting officially our medical center when the new building opens. We also do medical missions. We have about 170 children that we're helping right now that live in our, almost 100 of those live in the four homes. And then we have our school. So we also provide an education for all of those children and about 100 more external children. who come from very poor areas around the city. And we do also a huge amount of evangelism. So everything we do, we combine with God's word so that God can be glorified through all of the different activities that we do. And in fact, I was just reading a verse there from the book of James, one of my favorite verses. And the verse says, "I will show you my faith by what I do." And I think in a snapshot, that would be a very applicable verse to our foundation.
So Bogota is obviously home for you now.
Yes, absolutely.
Very much. It's lovely to have you here. But just a little insight, what do you miss most about the Northeast?
Oh my goodness. I would have to actually say what I miss most is my mum's home cooking.
Yeah.
That's definitely the thing.
So what's your favourite?
Oh, I like all kinds of stuff, you know. I especially like the chocolate cakes she does there. They're just fantastic.
That sounds great. Now, you've mentioned you've worked with thousands of children over the years. Mm. How do these children come to you? How do you find these children? And you're working out your faith with these children. Just explain to us how, you know, so many millions of children in Colombia who I'm sure are in need of help. You can only work with so many. How do you find the children who live in your homes and that you work with?
Well, a lot of the cases come to us through our work with the different communities. So those who have visited Colombia will know that we go out to the different communities and we give out clothes and food and all types of things like that. And through that, we get to know the families and we get to build up a relationship with those families. And then sometimes we'll see cases where there's children that have really very extreme needs, and those are the cases that we most help. So we get to know the families through that, and then usually it will be the families who approach us who ask us if we can give more help and how can we give that help.
And finally, you're going to be bringing us the Word of God in a few minutes, which is based on the theme of biblical hope. What are your hopes for Children Vision at the moment, and what can we pray for in the coming days?
Okay, so our short-term hope would be to open our new building. So we're going to be having several of the final inspections that have to go on for that, and we have to have a particular permission from the mayor's office to be able to what they call occupy the building. Although I think my wife, bit by bit, has been trying to occupy different areas of the building already. So please be praying for that. And also be praying for the children as they've come back to the foundation and the settling back in and just giving thanks to God for that to be able to happen.
And I've had a little sneak preview. There's some awesome photos at the back of what your new home looks like. Mm-hmm. State-of-the-art kitchens.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Living areas.
It is, yeah.
So it's an exciting time.
It is, very much, yes.
Great. Well, thanks very much, Richard. I'm going to pray now, and we'll include those prayer requests
Thank
in
you.
Our time of prayer. And then after that, Richard will come and bring the Word of God to us. And just a very short prayer for Richard as he comes to speak to us now. Lord, give us ears to listen. Give us hearts and minds that are open. We pray for Richard now as he comes to share with us what is on his heart, what you have shared with him to share with us today. We pray that you would bless him now. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. What a great blessing to be able to be here. Today, I really felt like the Holy Spirit moved on my heart to bring you a message around biblical hope. And I've entitled the message just very simply, Hope in God. You know, as David said many times, you know, my hope is in God. We're going to start by looking at Romans 8, verses 24 to 25. Romans 8, verses 24 to 25. And here Paul gives us a very important instruction around hope. These verses say, "For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." And I think that's been a really important message through this time of the pandemic, is maintaining our hope in God, hoping for the things that we might not have one point have seen, and persevering in that hope. And that's what I hope to encourage you today, is to say, if you're going through a challenging time right now, that you would have hope in God and you would persevere in that hope. Now, you know, that hope makes us completely different to people who don't know Jesus, because that hope gives us the foundation on which we build our life, and it gives us the direction in which we move. And it defines for us the goals that we want to achieve in our life, such as sharing Jesus with those who don't know about him. And it also helps us to focus on a God-centered ending to every journey that we have. I think in life we have this one long journey that's the journey to, hopefully, to eternity. But we also have lots of shorter journeys, some that are just a few days long and some that are months or some that are years. You know, in 1 Corinthians 13:13, we're told how important that hope is. Paul says, "And now abide these," and of course it talks about faith, which we talk about a lot, but then it says hope and then love. And I thought it was really interesting that hope would be right up there with faith and love. And you know, when we talk about hope in the biblical sense, it's not a wishy-washy hope, like we might say, we hope it's sunny tomorrow. Or we might say, we hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. When we say we hope in God, this is a sure hope that's based on our faith, and that's saying that we are convinced that there will be a God-centered ending to this hope. Now, you know, God has allowed us to be a channel of hope at the foundation through the pandemic. And we started to pray when the children had to leave the homes and leave the school, and they had to go back to their very poor homes. It was almost like that hope was being stolen away from them by the pandemic. And we began to pray, God, help us to be a channel of hope for our families and for the community and for the people that we help and for whoever we can help. And God said to us, well, you're going to start to provide food, and you're going to start to help people by providing God's word. And I'm going to help you do all of these things to be this channel of hope. And for the children who came to our school, you're going to be providing them with printed school guides so they can continue at best they can their education. And, you know, we went to the grocery store and we started to walk around, and, you know, it was in the middle of all of that panic buying at the start of the pandemic. And can you imagine, we were in the grocery store with 25 trolleys. People were following us and swearing at us and being nasty to us and telling us what bad people we were, you know. But what they didn't realize was that 25 trolleys for our big family was normal. What everyone else did as panic buying, we used to do every few weeks. You know, and as we walked through, and the thing that we didn't tell them was that we were getting it all to give it away, because then they would have followed us home. But God allowed us to be a channel of hope. And then we had a chicken company that called us and said, we have all these chickens to donate. They've never called us before. They'd heard about us through somebody else. And, you know, we want to provide you with chickens. We said, we'll take them. They sent thousands of chickens. I've never bagged so many chickens in all of my life, I'll tell you. But we gave them out, and not only to our families and our children, but to all of the neighborhood around the foundation, you know. And I would walk down the street, and the people would say, hey, it's the chicken guy, you know. I'm like, okay, yeah. Any chickens today, they would ask me, you know. But it was God providing a hope when it seemed like a lot of hope had been taken away. And so today I want to talk about unbreakable hope, because hope in the biblical sense is unbreakable. And I started to look him up in the Hebrew, and the word in Hebrew is tikvah. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And it means the same word for a rope or a cord. And when I began to understand that, God was showing me that his hope is an unbreakable hope. When he makes a promise, it's a sure thing. It's not something wishy-washy like the world might use the word hope. And God immediately brought to my mind a tightrope walker. And the tightrope walker who walks on that rope, his life depends on the relationship with the rope. And the rope or the cord provides the support for his life. And it provides the direction in which God is guiding him to move, because he can't go anywhere other than where the cord goes. And it's providing the goal that, or the calling or the thing that God is putting to be achieved for that moment. And it's providing, when he gets on that rope, he's determined and he's already thinking he's going to make it to the end. And we need to be fixed in that hope that there's going to be a God-centered ending when we say, I hope in Jesus, or I hope in God. We're saying we're determined that this hope is a sure ending. It's a sure thing, and it's a God-determined thing. So, you know, when we started to give out that food and God began to supply, we began to understand that God was saying, this is my hope. This is an unbreakable hope. You're being the channel of that hope. And today I want to tell you that if you feel like a lot of hope has been taken away through this time of the pandemic, God's trying to show us that his hope is unbreakable. A pandemic can't break God's hope. You know, I'm going to tell you one of the miracles of multiplication that happened. In 2020, we gave away 6,000 bags of food. Okay, now altogether we've given over 10,000 bags of food, which is an incredible provision that God made for us to allow us to be able to be that channel of hope. And these are the type of things that's been happening at the foundation. So we had, at the end of 2020, 46 bags of food left in this box of food. And I'm talking a box like I could have stood in it, you know, I could have slept in it. It was huge. You know, and we had 46 bags left. And we had a pastor who called us, and he asked for help for 30 families, a friend of ours. So we gave him 60 bags, two per family. But then we realized those 60 bags had come from a box that had 46 bags. Okay, the Lord is doing something here. And then the Bible study group from the neighborhood came, and they asked for help, so we gave them another 10 bags. So we're going, okay, and we're adding all of this up. That's 70 bags from 46, you know. And then some other people came to the foundation from my neighborhood asking for help. That was 80 bags that came out of 46. And we're going, the Lord is doing a multiplication miracle in this box, you know. And the best bit, okay, when we got to the end of the year and then we're starting 2021, and we counted the number of food bags that were in the box, 52. I'm telling you, we have seen the Lord do miracles of multiplication in the most incredible way. And even our parents started to tell us, the rice that you gave us, because we would give them food every 2 weeks, it never runs out. They told us, we scoop, and we scoop, and we scoop, and they keep it, I guess, in a bucket or a container, and it never runs out. The Lord is multiplying the rice. And the parents all started to talk between themselves about the multiplication of the food that it seemed like was going on in their houses. I mean, praise God for that. So God allowed us to be that channel of hope. And God was saying, this is my unbreakable hope that I'm showing. Now, I also want to speak today you know, about hope restored through adversity. And when the children came back to school and then eventually to the homes, I'll tell you, it brought such huge joy to my heart to see our homes again full of children who were running up and down and laughing and having just an incredible time. They were so happy to be back in their home. You know, and I think I probably felt like the dad in that story of the prodigal son when his son came home. And I kind of wanted to apply this story maybe in a little bit of a different way, just to think about hope. If we look at these verses in Luke 15 verses 11 to 14 gives the background. So the father had given part of his livelihood to the son, and the son took it and he went to a different place, and he made probably some not great decisions in his life, and he lost everything that he had had in wild living. But sometimes, you know, God can make great things through times of adversity. And let's have a look at how bad it got for the son. So in Luke 15, verses 15 to 16, it tells us, "Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything." Can you imagine that time of adversity? And, you know, I thought about many people around the world who went through such a time and are going through such a time of adversity especially because of the pandemic, and normally would go through adversity in their life, but even worse at this moment. But that time of adversity caused a change in that son's heart. And if we read a little bit further on in the story, we're going to read verse 17. Luke 15, verse 17, it says, "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of the father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" Do you know, our families were telling their friends in the communities they were able to help them with food because God was multiplying the food for them. And God's name was glorified over and over and over again because God allowed us to be a channel of his unbreakable hope. Now, through this time of adversity that the son went through, you know, our children, they've gone through a difficult time during the pandemic. It was almost like the pandemic stole all the blessings that God had wanted to give to them in the home. For example, even just so simple as not to have a mud floor to walk on. And it was almost like the pandemic had stolen those things. But when we hope in God, like I think the father in the prodigal son story hoped in God for his son, as we hoped in God, then God brought the children back. And the pandemic was not strong enough to break God's unbreakable hope. In Lucas 15, verses 22 to 24, we can see the response of the father. He had hoped in God. God responded to that hope. The son's heart was changed. He repented of the things he had done wrong, and he came back. And it gives us a snapshot of how God feels when we turn back to him. It says in Lucas 15, verses 22 to 24, "But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found,' and they began to be merry." You know, and I saw that. And when the children came back to the home, when they had had to leave, we had sent all their clothes with them. And do you know what it's like to all of a sudden have to give all of our children, when they came back, 5 sets of clothes and shoes and everything else? I mean, it took us a good while to get everything given back, but God had made the provision. And I'm going to share with you a little story. Our oldest girl, Lucenia, she's now all grown up and married, and she has a wonderful daughter called Sarah. And Sarah came up to Janine and she had this. She said, "Grandma Nini," she calls her Grandma Nini in English. She said, "Grandma Nini, I drew this for you." And I'll just describe it to you if you can't quite see it. She said, "This is an angel. And the angel is looking down from heaven. And there's a light coming down from God. And the light is arriving right here at Children's Vision." And she said, "And the angel is happy because you're helping all of these children." I thought, my goodness. Janine said she just burst into tears and she couldn't hold them back, you know. But it just felt like it was a representation of God's hope being shone in a difficult time. You know, I want to tell you today that you can be a channel of that hope right here in your own community, in your own church, in the people we meet around. The final thing that I want to talk about today is a hope for eternity. So we have a great job to do in being a hope for eternity, in sharing our faith that others might come to know Jesus. And this whole thing of the pandemic has had that effect of our children and their families sharing about Jesus. In Romans 5 verses 1 to 5, Paul tells us that hope does not disappoint. And I want to tell you today that if you're hoping in God for something, if you're hoping in Jesus for something, you're giving it to him in prayer, and hope does not disappoint. These verses, I'll just read them to you. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have that peace that only knowing Jesus can give us. "Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand." This safe place, this place of grace and provision and goodness. And that eventually will bring us to that incredible thing of eternal life. And it goes on and it says, "And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." And today I want to call you to rejoice in that hope that we have. And then if I skip just a couple of verses on, it says in verse 5, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." So today I want to call you not only to persevere in that hope, not only to maintain in that hope, not only to understand that that hope is unbreakable, but also to know that we need to rejoice in that hope. And we need to know that when we hope in God's way of hoping, the result is going to be a God-centered ending. When you say, "I hope in Jesus," you're saying, "I hope, I'm waiting for Jesus' strength, for his direction, for his goal to achieve, and I am focused and sure and certain on a God-centered ending." You know, Deanna Marcella, one of our little girls, she'd come to the foundation as a tiny little baby. And her lungs had been filled with smoke from everything that she'd inhaled in the little shack where she was living. And there'd been a lot of problems in her family with drug addiction and different things. You know, and when she came to our home, it's like, "God, put that hope for a better future and a different life." And when she had to leave the foundation after 16 years because of the pandemic, temporarily, and she kind of, it was almost like it stole that away from her. And the day she came back, she sat us down and she said, do you know, she said, I was with my family. She went to be with an aunt. She said, I was with my family. She said, and it's like, I didn't feel like I was with my family. But now I'm sat back here today. And now I'm back with my family. In the place where I'm loved and wanted and cared for and appreciated. And I felt one of our other girls, Lorena, really kind of had it in a nutshell. She said, after the pandemic, I'm finally back in the place that I was always meant to be. Oh, wow. And all through the pandemic, the return to the foundation was the children's hope in God that pulled them through. So I'm going to share a little bit of my DVD with you today and let you see a little bit of what we've been doing. Actually, can I start at chapter 3, please? Thank you. And at the end, we asked our children how they felt about coming back to the foundation, and I'm going to let you see a few of their words. So this is our brand new Blessings building. And the first couple of chapters just talk about the basics of the foundation, who we are. I think pretty much most of you understand that. So this is our project that we started in May of 2018. And the children came to inspect to make sure we were doing everything properly, you know? Thank you for all of your support and your prayers and everything you've done to help make this project a reality. I remember many days of pouring concrete and being, I broke our washing machine in the house, okay, because of the concrete that went in there off all of my clothes. And this is our brand new Blessings building. The building is totally finished. Praise God. This is a building that is going to be a channel of hope to many people in many places and many communities. The first floor is our humanitarian aid storage rooms. The second floor is our brand new lunch room where we're going to be able to give around 900 meals a day we're going to be serving in that lunch room. This was how the kitchen looked just a few months ago, and this is how it looks today. God provided for a wonderful, amazing kitchen that will enable us to cook those 900 meals a day. I'll tell you, if you're a cook in our house, you've got a lot of work to do for sure. So this is our new cold rooms. We've never had cold rooms before, and Janine and I just had to go in and try them out. You know, so we were breathing in there, and you could see your breath. We're like, yeah, they work good. This is going to be our new dining room, which will help us for about 250 children to be able to have meals there. And this is what it looks like clothes shopping at our house. We've already been using that room, and this is why I said to you, I think if my wife had her way, she would already be moved into the building, because it feels like we finished the floor and she tries to move in. But to give our children back all of their clothes and everything when they came back to the foundation was just a huge blessing. It was like God was restoring the blessing through that time of adversity. Now, we've always dreamed of a medical unit. That has always been part of our vision. And that's on the third floor of this new building. We've always done medical missions all over Colombia, helping many thousands of people, really, with their medical needs. And in fact, Christine, who's our UK coordinator, has been on many of those medical missions. She's been a huge help to us. So this is what the new medical unit looks like. We've got four consultation rooms in there. They're going to be shared consultation rooms. One of them's even set up for minor surgical procedures. And we've also got a dental room. This dental chair was donated to us by somebody actually right here in the northeast of England. So it's going to be amazing to see it being used. This is Janine's new bakery. And we have a bakery kitchen in there. Janine loves to do bakery and bakes birthday cakes for all of the children. And she's going to be teaching them lots of wonderful bakery classes. As you can see, it's a really, really special place that God has provided. And you know, here's some of our photos that show the joy of our children in those classes. And one of our boys, when he came back, he said, "I'm so happy to be back because here I get a birthday cake." And this is going to be our new sports area on the top floor. We've still to put the AstroTurf down and some of the netting around to stop the footballs breaking the windows. But the children are already telling me that they're going to have Dad running around on that football area playing football. So this is what the building looked like at the groundbreaking ceremony in 2018. And here are all of our children to say to you, thank you. Thank you for helping us with that incredible place that will bring a hope and happiness to many. So I'm just going to share a few of these words with you about how did our children feel about coming back. Well, here you can see how excited they were. This is Sharon, who's six. Nicole said, "It's a new opportunity for my life." Helen told us, "It's a special place and many children wish they could live here too." Jamie told us that it's safer here because many of their neighborhoods where their houses are very dangerous. Dajana said, "Because I have a bed to sleep in, a roof, love, and lots more." This is Sol. Sol has the most beautiful smile, I'll tell you. And Valentina, she was all worried about the food. She said, "Well, there's breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and snacks, and all the food." Karen said, "Because I have other children to play with." This is Lorena, who told us, "I finally came back to the place I was always meant to be." And this is Diana Marcela. She told us, "Here I'm with the people that I love the most. They are like my family." And she mentioned about the food and studies and all kinds of other things. What has been incredible through all of this time is just to see how grateful the children have been for the help that they've received. And Natalia said, "Because of Mommy Janine and Daddy Richard." So I'm going to stop the DVD there, please. I just want to finish off the message today by really giving you a challenge. Because I can say that we have seen God's unbreakable hope, and we've been able to be a channel of that hope. And we've seen how the children have experienced God's hope through such a time of adversity, but that hope has brought them through. And God had restored the things that the pandemic had tried to steal away. And we've talked about hope for eternity. So I want to set you this challenge, and this challenge comes from 1 Peter 3:15. And I think it's a challenge to all of us who know what it is to have hope in Jesus and hope in God. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, "But sanctify the Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you." And it calls us to do it with meekness and with fear. Isn't that an incredible challenge? So that's the challenge that I want to set to you today, is always be ready to give a defense or a witness or a reason to the hope that you have in Jesus. because that's an incredible way of telling others about your faith. So I'd like to finish in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for that message of hope. Let us understand that, as the Hebrew explains to us, that this is an unbreakable hope. That hope that Paul talks about is unbreakable. That it's a hope that we hope, Father, one day to be in eternity with you and to be in your glory, Father. But we also understand that here on the earth, Lord, as we live out our daily lives for you, that we can too experience that unbreakable hope. And Father, while we hope in you, Father, we will persevere in that hope. And no matter how difficult things become or the world around us becomes, Father, let us persevere, understanding that your hope is unbreakable. And Father, I pray that when we go through times of adversity, Lord, that, Lord, you would use those times to strengthen our faith and to better our understanding of hope. And Father, that when we see the result and when we see that you restore things when we have hope in you, Lord, that we will then glorify you for that. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to fully comprehend our hope for eternity. Give us chances, Lord, to share that hope with others. And Father, let us always be ready to give a witness to that hope that is within us. So, Father, I thank you for your goodness, for your blessing. I thank you for your hope. And I pray that for this church today, Lord, that they too know your type of hope in a very deep way. Lord, I thank you for them. I ask that you bless them. I thank you for all that you use them in to bring hope to your community in this place. Strengthen them in that work, Father. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.